Let's please turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 12:5. This week is Mother's Day 2022, and I'm just about guaranteed there's not very many pastors teaching Deuteronomy today. And sometimes we break away for our study for special days like today. But you know, Deuteronomy is a good Mother's Day message. As we're going to go through this, it's a law of God. It's really foreign to most people because it's the law of God is a very hard thing to understand. You know, what stays, what goes, how does it apply today, etc. But let me just ask, how many of you have had or have a mother that sat you down while you were growing up under their care, under your mom and dad's care or your mom's care, in the case of not having a dad, sat you down and taught you to love God, to love His law, to fear Him, to grow up to worship Jesus, and as you went out the door, and to the extent they're still in your life, they're saying the same thing. How many of you grew up in that environment? Okay. A few people. Now see, and this is church here. So that's going to be a higher percentage that's out in the world. Because what happens when a mom raises their children that way? And especially if the dad is helping out. Especially if the dad's helping out, there's a greater chance that the children are going to have a fear of God when they grow up, and they're going to want to worship God, and they're going to want to serve Him in the church and serve Him in loving people and being able to evangelize. But so here the church, we should be a higher percentage than's out there. And even then, it was a pretty small percentage. Now, what does that tell you? That there's so many kids growing up today that they don't have a mom or a dad. You know, and we didn't cover dad, but same thing probably. Less dads, I would imagine. That are sharing the fear of God and the knowledge of Him. What does that mean about our future as a country? According to the Word of God, we're doomed. So, but that doesn't mean that your family has to be doomed. And so this is going to be the encouragement to mothers here, that you would want your children to say, yep, my mom, even if they're in the world, yep, my mom preached the Word to me all the time and actually lived it and believed it and feared God herself and was a great, great example, but they either embraced it and they become a born-again believer. And is there anything greater in our minds as Christians? Is there anything greater than our children all of a sudden bowing the knee to Jesus and having everlasting life and worship Jesus with it? There's nothing better than for that to happen. And it's very rare. I see it very rare in my years of being a pastor that that's true. But see, the fact that you're here today as mothers is a sign that you want to do that. When we first started the church, I really noticed, it's changed a little bit over the years, but when we first started out, Mother's Day, it was usually the most attendance of families. Why? Because mothers were saying, you know, what can we do for you, Mom, today? I want to go to church. I want my family to go to church with me. And that would be the case. Father's Day would come along and I'd notice, huh, what happened? I want to go to a baseball game. I want to do that. And you know, our text in Deuteronomy is really going to encourage that if the fathers and mothers aren't constantly reminding their children, you don't want to go to the high places of the world. You want to worship the true Jesus, the true God of the Bible, because it will not go well with you if you don't. And that's, you know, that's what Deuteronomy is going to continue to say. We covered it, you know, this is a continuing theme from last week about God just emphasizing to the Jews, you have to worship where I tell you to worship. You have to worship the way I tell you to worship. You can't be worshiping like the world worships. You can't go ask the world, how do you serve your gods of lust and pleasure? You cannot do that, or you will destroy yourselves. And we're going to see in our studies today that they didn't listen. And they destroyed their nations. The northern Israel destroyed. Judah destroyed. Your family, especially in this lust-filled world, if you moms and dads aren't doubling down We're going to talk about Jesus around the table. We're going to bring the law of God. We're going to show them the world is passing away and lust thereof. But if you do the will of God, you worship Jesus, you will have everlasting life and we'll see you for eternity. And there's a chance, small chance, that they'll grow up and be there with you in heaven if you do that. And if you don't, there's almost no chance in this world. The craziest time in the world of the history of how technology is being used to suck everybody away from the truth. Deuteronomy 12:5, just 12:5 through 9, we covered last week as a lead-in because we kind of stopped in the middle of the whole theme here, which is very repetitive, admittedly. But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for a dwelling place, and there you shall go. For those that weren't here last week, the Jews were supposed to make a tabernacle like this. They were supposed to, wherever the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, when it would get up and move to the next place that they're going, they were supposed to tear this all down, build it back up, and God says, this is where you go to do all your religious ceremony, relationship ceremony with me. This is what you have to do. Go through the door for sacrifice, for sin, and the different burnt offerings, labor of bronze to wash you. You know, the priests would be washed, Now what it means is we get the Holy Spirit to cleanse us. And the Ark of the Covenant was here in the Holy of Holy place in the tabernacle. And inside the Ark of the Covenant was the law of God. And at first it also had a jar of manna and Aaron's rod that was budded, but the Bible records it. After a while, all that was left was just the law of God inside there. And so you go here. You don't go up onto a high mountain and say, let's just sacrifice a bull or a goat because it's too far to get to wherever the place this tabernacle is set up. God says, don't do that. Under any circumstances, don't do it because this is a shadow of God sending his son, his only begotten son. The only way to get to God is through Jesus, the door. He sacrificed. He cleanses us with his spirit and he opens the way for access to God. So for them to be a witness people, you have to do it my way because it's pointing people to my son, which is going to be a new dispensation of the church. Because now we don't go make temples. We don't sacrifice because it was all fulfilled. This was pointing to what Jesus was going to do. And God wanted his promised people to keep this way. And what is Satan going to be tempting them to do? Do something else. Because Satan knows what's going on and he wants to destroy. He wants to make them just be religious Jews, but don't do it this way. Do it my way. Get under a tree and in a high place and worship idols. So there you shall take your burnt offering, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, the firstborn of your herds and flocks. We'll cover more on that. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your household in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. So even though they had their tabernacle right there on the east side of the Jordan, Moses is aware some guys are just going off and doing their own thing. And he goes, we're not going to do that. You guys get over onto the other side. God's going to provide kind of a permanent place, which was Shiloh for 300 years. And this is going to be set up and you do it this way. You shall not do as they are doing today in your own eyes. For as yet, you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. Right now we're nomadic, but he's going to bring you into the promised land. And then you're going to be setting up. You're going to have it conquered and you're going to set up and you just do it this way. So, how many people are doing whatever is right in their own eyes today? Nearly the entire world. I mean, the percentage of true born-again believers in the world is almost nil. That just want to worship Jesus. He's the only way to be saved. And even in the religious Christians, they have a fake Jesus. Do Mormons think they're Christians? They do. They call themselves Christians. Are they? No, they're not. How can you say that, Kevin? I don't say it. I'm just saying God says that. We're going to see it in our study today. What about Catholics who say that the rosary is going to, I have to pray the rosary to maybe get to heaven because Mary might not, go and talk to Jesus for me. Just on and on, there's all these things that are out there, and they're high places, they're fake worship places, and the world is deceived by all that. And so we're going to get into how it's deceived and how we can apply this today. Verse 10, but when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice offerings which you have vowed to the Lord. Establishing a sacrificial system that, once again, I want you to do this. And the Jews didn't understand this. It's going to point to Jesus. Does God ask us to do things that we might not understand? Of course. But when we sit there and we don't understand, when we read the word, and oh, now I understand, and now I realize how important it was what you told me to do. And see, the Jews could have said, hey, by faith, we're going to do this, God. We don't totally understand. Yeah, you don't. But my son Jesus is going to fulfill everything about this. And then the temple goes away and people worship in spirit and in truth, because now Jesus is the high priest. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our Savior. And we bow and we worship him, and we have access to God through faith in him. And then, you know, the Jews should have gone, oh, that's going to be so cool. When that happens, we want to make sure we keep this model here so that those Jews in the future and the rest of the world is going to see when Jesus comes. They're just going to say, this is all the fulfillment of what Jesus is supposed to do. But they didn't, because they worshiped the system instead of the object of the system. They worshiped the shadow of the temple rather than what it was pointing to. And many people today, look at my church, look at the stained glass windows. Which is fine to observe the stained glass windows, but is that the church? No. It's a place where the church meets. You know, this is a place where the church meets. You're the church. God is now, in a sense, we're like in here all the time, fellowshipping together, eating of Jesus, enjoying that he is the firstborn offering sacrifice, the tithe offering, the fellowship offering, the burnt sacrifice. Every time you wake up and, oh, praise Jesus, I just thank you that you came to give me life and I want to serve you this day. That's like a burnt offering. And God, as I walk through the day, I want to be in your word and I want to have fellowship with you. That's a fellowship offering. And see, all these offerings of the Levitical priesthood, you know, the book of Leviticus has all these offerings. Some of them you get to eat, some you don't eat, some the priests eat. And so this whole thing of worshiping God, you get sustenance. Didn't Jesus, we were doing communion last week, Jesus says, unless you eat my body, drink my blood. And they go, what are you saying? Well, I'm saying that I'm going to be just like the fellowship offering that you then sacrifice, and then you go off and you eat it as a family around the tabernacle. I'm that. I'm going to have fellowship with you. Not that we're literally, and that's why we say symbolically, it's his bread, and you know the bread was his body, and or the wine was symbolically his blood, because all this was a shadow to point to Jesus. Take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offering in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord chooses. In one of your tribes, one of the 12 tribes is going to be designated as the place to set up the tabernacle. There you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. God only had them build one tabernacle. And he goes, wherever I tell you to put it, that's where you do it. Because if you're going to some other high place, are you worshiping this way? You can't be, because there's only one way. Everybody, is Jesus really the only way to be saved? Well, can I just be a good person and just go out in the woods and I just, you know, I spend my time with God and I'm a really good person and I've never tried to hurt anybody bad, and can I get to heaven that way? No. Don't go to the high place. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 2. You know, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, Dustin, how many of you have read through Kings and Chronicles? You should by now if you're going directly through the Bible and are through the Bible reading plan. You've recently gone through all this. And Dustin was going, Kevin, I mean, it's just every single king, you know, didn't remove the high places. Such a big deal to not get rid of the high places. Yep, and it's a very big deal today, too. Because you know what? We can let high places come into our lives. And God wants them gone. So, this is 500 years after Moses is giving this lecture. And it's Solomon. Solomon hasn't built the first Jewish temple. See, this was the tabernacle. Temporary tent moving around. But when Solomon built the temple, it became permanent in Jerusalem. Jerusalem became the place where God was going to, you know, put his sign of approval on the sacrificial system in the permanent temple of Solomon, and the temporary went away. But before this was before the temple of Solomon was established, it says in 1 Kings 3:2, meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places, because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, and I'm going to say at first, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. This was a good king, except he didn't get rid of the high places. Almost every single king that you'll read about in Kings and Chronicles. And you know what he did at one of the high places? Then he makes idols. We're going to find out. At the end of this sequence of parallel passages, we're going to see that Solomon actually set up idols at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. Now, you know what it says in Chronicles? The reason why in Solomon's time he went to Gibeon, because that was the great high place, is because some of the tabernacle items, the burnt sacrifice for sure, was in Gibeon. But where was the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant was in Jerusalem. David had brought it to Jerusalem, to the city of David. And he made a little tent for the Ark of the Covenant. But the brazen altar, which was somehow got to Gibeon, because it used to be in Shiloh for 300 years, but the Philistines came and burned things down, burned Shiloh, killed all the Jews, stole the Ark of the Covenant. Ark of the Covenant gets back into the Jewish hands by the miraculous judgment of God upon the Philistines. It gets back to the Jews. But now what we have is the burnt sacrifice is in Gibeon, but the Ark of the Covenant is Jerusalem. So are David and Solomon obeying what we're reading in Deuteronomy today? When David brought the Ark to Jerusalem so he could be right there, because he then would consult with God at the Ark of the Covenant and say, well, that's good. You know, he wants to get right with God. But in a way, that's like building a high place. Because God didn't say, split this up and do this here and do this there. Because he wanted the whole deal right here. And so David should have said, no, I might want it in Jerusalem. But God said in Deuteronomy, there's going to be a place that all this gets set up. We need to move the Ark of the Covenant to Gibeon. Because what's in the Ark of the Covenant? The law. And what does the law say? You shall, the Ten Commandments. What's the first one? You shall, the Lord your God is the one who delivered you out of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. And you shall not make any idols. What does Solomon do? So Solomon goes to the great high place to do thousands of sacrifices on the brazen altar. But he doesn't have the Ark of the Covenant mindset, which has the law that says don't do idolatry. And we'll see what happens with that. So, let's turn to 2 Kings 12:2. This is 150 years after Solomon's built the temple, thereabouts. These are rough numbers. And if you read through Kings and Chronicles, you find out that, boy, bad things happen. Wicked kings. Judgment would come. And then this Athaliah, this mother of the king, when she sees her wicked son get killed, she decides, why don't I just be queen? And all I have to do to make sure I stay queen and I rule is I'll kill all my grandchildren that are of the royal line. She killed every single one of her grandchildren's sons that were in the royal line of Solomon, except she missed one that got hidden away. She missed one son. If that son gets killed, we're not here today. Because God said to David through Solomon There's never going to be one to lack sitting on the throne of David, Solomon. And if she would have got this 7-year-old kid, this baby actually at the time, a baby, then we're not here because that promise of God was not fulfilled. His name, the little baby, then grew up. The Athaliah's thinking, I wiped out the royal line. I'm queen. She's worshiping idols. Wicked, evil lady. But the high priest, he feared God. He loved God. He hid away the little baby inside the temple, raised him up. 7 years later, he says, okay, it's time for you to be king. How many of you think your 7-year-olds are ready to be king? But he knew, this is it. This kid has to live. And so he's pumping the word of God into him, just like your mothers. All you mothers are pumping the word of God into your children, right? Pumping it in. This is the truth. This is the way it is, because he knew, I got to get it into him. Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And we're talking 7 years until the high priest dies. Did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days which Jehoiada, the priest, instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. But the high priest didn't take away the high places. You know, and I'm going to conjecture here. Do you think he wanted to? Of course, he's a God-fearing man. He wanted to tell the people, you got to get rid of the high places. Why didn't he? It's just like asking your kids, they can't have a phone. I mean, you're going to get a riot. They're all going to, you know, you're going to wake up, you know, stabbed in your sleep. You know, I mean, I'm hyperbole, except for a lot of people experience that out in the world. In the world today, a parent tells their kid that's just all into the phone, I want you to, you know, mow the lawn. No, I've got my world. You tell me, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to take away your phone. Yeah, they probably have to go get bodyguards. And that's what I'm going to say. Taking down the high places was a huge thing. We're going to worship God on the high places and you just try and stop me. And so, Jehoiada, he's trying to stop, but the high places were not taken away. The people, the Jews, still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. So, and now let's go to, it's not in your notes, let's go to 2 Chronicles 24. You know what, this is too important to leave out. 2 Chronicles 24:15. And so, Jehoash really listened to the high priest, listened to mom and dad, you know, kind of like today, you moms, listened, as long as you had control. As long as the priest had control over him, he's listening. But then he dies. The high priest dies, but Jehoiada grew old and was full of days, and he died. And he was 130 years old when he died. People were still living longer back then than now. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel. They actually buried him among the kings because he, in a sense, was king for years. Because he was king through this 7-year-old kid doing what was right, bringing the law of God back into the land. Because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and his house. Now, after the death of Jehoiada, the priest, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore, they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wood images, idols. Wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not listen. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest who stood above the people and said to them, thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord. He has forsaken you. He also has forsaken you. Now, what is this like today? It's like, as long as there was a godly influence in Jehoash's life, he's doing okay. So then the godly influence goes away, and what happens? The elders go, man, it's been a bummer living under you, under the priest, not being able to do the high places, not being able to go after the lusts and pleasures of the world. And so here's the deal. There's money to be made. There's money, and we'll give you kickbacks and everything else. Let's get, let's get wickedness and let's get idolatry going on. There's money in idolatry. There's money in Planned Parenthood. There's money in nightlife. There's money in bars. There's money, and we can get it to you. And destroyed the place. This kid that had been raised godly didn't have the heart totally towards God. And as soon as the influence came, they're trashed. How many people have seen, oh man, my kid, they would pray, they would go to church with me, they'd do everything, and then they went to school. And then they had the elders of the world talking to them, and hey, why don't we party? And I lost my kid. So that's why it's so important, you mothers. See, I told you there's Mother's Day in Deuteronomy, or Kings. As you literally have to get in front of them, if you're listening to me just because I'm saying it, and you really wish by talking to the other kids at school or in the neighborhood, you just really wish you could have a phone that was unlocked and you could go to the websites that they go to and you could do. If you aren't sitting there, no, because that's an abomination to God. And if you're only doing it for me, then when you get older, you're going to be done. And then take them to this section of scripture. I don't want you to be like Jehoash, who listened while he was at home, but then when the world started influencing him, then he just goes off and goes, yeah, let's party. And by the way, when Zechariah gave this warning to him, you know what Jehoash did? Killed him. The high priest saved Joash's life, kept him from Athaliah killing him, raised him, and then because he gets rebuked later on when he's just embracing idols, he goes, you know, killed him. Killed Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. Yeah, your children will grow up and you won't even recognize them. They're in the world. Dad, I won't even talk to you. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. Mom and Dad. Very sad. And I'm speaking to you children here too. This is real. There's a real battle for your mind. And you might just already, the Holy Spirit might be speaking to your mind. Yeah, I think about my parents that way. I just wish I could do something else on Sundays. I wish I could do something else but talking about Jesus around the table. And if that's the case, you are already in serious trouble. Because this is real. God is implementing a plan to save us. It was Jesus 2,000 years ago who died and rose from the grave and ascended into heaven. He is coming back. And just like it says here, you have forsaken God and he has forsaken you. And this is where our country's at. Are we being forsaken? Listen to all the news this last week about all the chaos. Why? We can't kill our children anymore. The world's coming to an end. No, the world's coming to an end because we are killing our children. It's like the whole world is absolutely psycho backwards from a godly perspective because of the wickedness of our world. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 4. Another 100 years later, Hezekiah is king, a good king. Hezekiah, 2 Kings 18, 4. By the way, if you want to test somebody as to whether or not they know the Bible, say, turn to Hezekiah 3:4. And if they're going into their Bibles and they go, wait a second, where is that? It's not there, but it sounds like it should be a book of the Bible. But so now you're all protected. If somebody asks you, go, I know it's not in the Bible. 2 Kings 18:4. He, Hezekiah, removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars. Again, sacred pillars are porn pillars. Cut down the wooden images, Canaanite goddess Asherah of lust, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. Now think about this. Numbers 21, remember when Moses had the people put up a bronze serpent? The people had rebelled against God. God allowed poisonous snakes to come. The poisonous snakes are biting the people. They run to Moses and go, okay, we've sinned against God. What do we do? God says, make a bronze serpent, put it up on a pole. And if people by faith get bitten, and if by faith they go and they gaze on that pole here in the midst of our camp, they'll be miraculously healed from the venom of the snake and they will not die. In John chapter 3, Jesus attributed that that all happened, which is like, why did that happen? Because Jesus became sin for us on the cross. What's a sign of sin? The snake. He became sin for us and died. And if we go and we look upon Jesus truly as our Savior with a broken heart, God, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. But I'm going to come to you for your forgiveness because you promised to forgive me. Even though you've been snake bit by sin and you're going to die, you're spiritually going to die and spend eternity in hell. You look upon Jesus, you get saved. Okay, now, it was only supposed to be done that. It was supposed to be to the glory of God. But you know what they turned the bronze serpent into? They turned it into an idol. Now, we would never do that, right? Nobody would call himself a Christian and turn an object of Jesus being on the cross into an idol, would they? Does anybody pray to a cross? Worse yet, a crucifix? Thinking that the crucifix and the cross has some kind of power over them? Do you know that's idolatry? And especially the crucifix, because is Jesus on the cross? He's not on the cross, so even that is, that's a high place. That is a different Jesus. My Jesus is not on the cross. He's up in heaven, advocating for me. When the devil comes and says, have you seen Kevin? Yep, I've seen him, but he's born again. And I know what he's doing, but I'm working on him. He's under construction, I know, but he's going to be okay someday because he's going to get a new body and be with us, and so get out of here. That's what he's doing, and aren't you glad he's there instead of sitting on a cross still? The bronze thing, verse 5, he, Hezekiah, trusted in the Lord of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor were there any before him. He really wanted to do what was right. Who was his son? Manasseh. What did Manasseh do? Like I said last week, he said, build all the high places back up, put all the idols back up. And I bet, even though it doesn't say for him, I bet you it was the same situation. They went to the son, they went to the king, and they said, look, your dad, man. Look at all the money we lost. Look at all the trade that we lost. Look at all this stuff. People want to worship idols. They don't want to worship God. And so Manasseh just goes for it, and he becomes the worst king. Go to 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 13. So after Manasseh's reigning, destroying the country, spilling innocent blood all over, to the point where God says, if you read Kings and Chronicles, God says, I couldn't any longer have mercy on Judah because Manasseh spilled so much innocent blood. And again, with what's going on in the news this week, man, God's still, we're still a country. We're still a country, and we have 65 million dead. I wonder how bad Manasseh was that God says, okay, it's got to go down because of what happened. So about 50 years later, right after Manasseh, he ruled for a long time, did a lot of, you know, we think of all the damage that's being done in a couple of years. I mean, can you imagine a wicked person in charge for over 40 years? Then the king, so then Josiah, his son, became king, who's the best God-fearing king, the last God-fearing king of Judah, defiled the high place. He didn't just tear him down and say, you can't go there, put a fence around. He defiled them by putting dead bones. You know, he burned the bones of people and scattered it. Now, the Jews have this thing that dead bones or anything dead makes me unclean. And so they wouldn't go there. And he defiled them so people wouldn't go there. So imagine this. Jews are told by God, don't worship idols. It also says that if you get in touch with something dead, you're unclean and you can't go worship God. And so then he defiles it with dead bones, but they don't, you know, they weren't bothered by worshiping idols, but oh, we can't worship there. There's dead bones. Religious idolaters can be just so not making sense, but he defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, which were on the south of the Mount of Corruption. You know what the Mount of Corruption is? Temple Mount. Corruption, because this was totally corrupted. Inside the temple had been all these gods. Josiah had to empty the temple out of all these idols that were brought into the Christian church. Worship of everything besides Jesus. Which Solomon, king of Israel, He took down the high places which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, another lust god, the abomination of the Sidonians, which is up in Lebanon, you know, southern Lebanon, for Chemosh, another less God, the abomination, God considers idols abomination, of the Moabites, which are Jordan today. And for Milcom, the abomination of the people of Ammon, also Jordan. Now, why did he build these? Why did he build these high places to worship these idols on the high places? Why did he do that? The Bible tells us. Because he married foreign wives. He married himself with the world. And it says that in his older age, his wives turned his heart against God. Can I worship my way? Can I worship my way? Oh, I'm getting old. I can't take anymore. You're a dripping faucet. I wrote that in Proverbs. you're like a dripping faucet. So, and then he gave in. So, another emphasis. You got to be equally yoked or your family is trash. You young ladies that are looking to get married someday, find a man, if there still exists one, that fears God, shuns evil, wants to worship the God, raise children to worship God. Don't care how cute or how much he says he loves you or whatever else you want to think about. He's a hazard to your spiritual life, unless that's true. And the opposite is also true for you guys. Doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. Inside could be demons. And all this other stuff. You have got to be equally yoked so you can raise your children to serve this biblical Jesus, this biblical God, so they can have everlasting life. And so anyway, it said he started out good. Solomon started out good. But then the world got him. Just like sending him off to school, or a teacher at school teaches him, maybe you're not a guy, maybe you're not a girl, all this other stuff that Satan is doing in our culture to destroy. Back to Deuteronomy 12:13. My brother, I got saved in 1974 in Vallejo, I told you. That was at nuclear power school. And the first thing I wanted to do is tell my brother, who was also stationed in California, in Moffett Field, San Jose, just a few miles south. And so, Craig, I'm born again. But we were both raised in a really messed up home. He was kicked out when he was a junior. I left kicked out when I was a junior. After my junior year, my sister, she ran away. So we were in a messed up family. By the way, I didn't raise my hand. My mom never told me a single verse out of the Bible. Didn't tell me anything about the Bible. My dad had one up on her. He told me the verse about how children are supposed to obey God. He did. I still remember. When my dad told me, it says right here, God, which I don't believe in, will never teach you again otherwise, but God says, honor your father and mother, that it might go well with you. First commandment with a promise. So that's all he ever taught me. So we're all on corruption. So Craig, I came to Jesus. And at the time in the Jesus movement, I mean, phew, man, there was such a power of the Holy Spirit to just cause revival in the country. And there was people that told me as a young believer, hey, let's go to Resurrection City in Berkeley, California. So we went there. How many people ever went there to Resurrection City, Berkeley, California? Okay. So, and they were teaching the true gospel. They were worshiping the true God. There was a powerful, powerful draw of the Holy Spirit. And my brother came and he goes, and there was an invitation to come forward at the service. I waited a long time. They took him in the back room. He prayed the sinner's prayer. They discipled him, gave him a Bible. Kevin, I'm born again too. I believe. But then along came the devil, put his arm around, says, let's go to a high place. You don't want to believe that Jesus is God, because there is no Trinity. The Holy Spirit's not God. Jesus isn't God. There's this pastor that started the Way International, and he knows the Aramaic. And the Aramaic said, this whole thing about the Trinity and the deity of Jesus, that was made by man. The Bible doesn't teach that he was God. He adopted that, totally flaked out, hung up on me multiple times because I wouldn't join him in that, estranged himself from everybody he ever knew. And then yesterday I get a call. I mean, several times. He told me, don't ever, 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 ever call me again. Because I was always trying to reach out to him. And so yesterday I get a call. from the investigator in Multnomah down in Oregon that my brother's passed away. And had been dead for a week because they did a wellness check when the mail piled up. And even when, you know, one time I was able, the first time I saw him in 40 years was when Bob and I went to go visit him down just in Portland, just across the 205 highway. And at the very end of the conversation, it was all about, nope, Jesus isn't God. Man invented that whole thing. So that was the last time that one other conversation I had with him before this. And so, see, the thing is because he departed from, he's like separate. Oh, yeah, there's a Jesus, but he's a different Jesus than this Jesus. He's a different Jesus than the Bible. And so if you can't worship a Jesus that's not God, because he has to be God. Because God the Father said he's God. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Believe him. I thought we're supposed to believe God. You are supposed to believe God and only God. But God said to believe his son. From heaven he spoke down because his son is God. And there's several other verses, like in our Resurrection Sunday service. We're talking about all these verses. Jesus claimed to be God. And so when people take a claim of Jesus and say, no, you lied, I don't want to believe in that kind, you have been deceived to go up to a high place and worship the way you want to worship, which is not allowed. And we have to tell our children that too. There's so many demonic. So my brother, according to the Word of God, and I'm assuming that he never changed, and my brother's not one to do that, he's in hell now because he was deceived. You children that are being told by your mom and dad, you got to believe in the Jesus of the Bible, or else it's going to go bad with you. I'm telling you, it's the truth. You must not turn away. And for all of us adults, maybe somebody is, well, Kevin, are you sure? You know, can we do a little of this? Don't at least some roads lead to heaven besides Jesus? You know, I know this guy. He was just an awesome, awesome Muslim guy. He was so kind to people and gave his money away. Are you telling me that if he dies, he's going to go to hell just because he worships Allah? Isn't Allah the same as God in a way? No. And that is radical today to say that. But it's the truth. We're not messing around, and neither is Satan. Satan messed with my brother and, you know, tried over the years, but just hooked him and got him and destroyed him. I hope nobody here gets destroyed. So here's the sequence of a destruction that we saw here. Is you have a little high place thing. Maybe it's something on your phone. Maybe it's something else hiding away. Oh, can't we just Zoom church? I'm so sick of church. I mean, I have to go all the way to church. You know, the gas prices are high and everything else. And, you know, can't I just Zoom and pick a pastor? And I can dial one that tells me what I want to hear. I don't have to listen to anything that challenges anything in Zoom. How about TV church? Reading books about God instead of book of God. Delving into New Age Christianity, different Jesuses. The world is full of high places. And we have to be careful not to go there. True Christians, we want to gather together. Why? Because, you know, if I go to church, I get saved. No, because I got saved by the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who gave his life for me, I want to hang around with people. And that's what it says in the book of Hebrews, that we want to hang around. Do not forsake the gathering together of the saints, as is the practice of some, especially when you see the day approaching. You know what the devil did through the whole lockdown of this country? A lot of churches, they Zoomed, and you know, when they got done doing that, they said, you know, why don't we just close the doors? Nobody really cares anymore anyway. 30-some percent of the churches are gone in this country. And I think it's higher than that, so I'm going to be conservative so I don't get told that I'm making things up. Think of that. Masterful, because you know who Satan really knows is all that's left is an enemy in this country? You that fear and love God. You can't be enslaved. You can't be lied to by them because you're a lover of the truth and God gives you a discernment. So you're not going to be a little sheep following the Pied Piper everywhere they pipe to go. We go, no, we follow Jesus. Well, I'll mess with your life. No, you can't mess with my life. Jesus gave me everlasting life. Deuteronomy 12:13. Take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord chooses, in one of your tribes, where you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. However, you may slaughter and eat meat within your gates, meaning the cities where the tabernacle is not located, whatever your heart desires according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. The unclean, and it's talking about a person who has touched something dead and is not allowed to come and worship at the temple sacrifice until they go through the ritual of being cleansed. So he's saying you don't have to have the same rules. If you're eating meat at your hometown, you don't have to have the same rules as here, because here is pointing to Jesus. But if you want to eat meat, because the people would say it was a cool thing to go to the temple and do sacrifices, because it was like, Mom and Ted, we're going to have steaks. We're going to go worship Jesus. We're going to have fellowship with him. We're going to sit around as a family. We're going to have a wonderful meal. And some of our grain offering is also for us. Some of our meat offering is some for us. And so it was just a wonderful time to go. But you had to be clean. You had to not come in contact with something dead, or you got the ashes of the red heifer sprinkled on you and stuff. And the clean may eat of it, of the gazelle and the deer. You can eat kosher meat, only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it out on the earth like water. Don't eat the blood. Who eats blood? They make blood pies in the Arab world. They'll bleed out a goat or a cow, and they let it coagulate into a plate, cut it up in a pie, and eat blood. Who wants them to do that? Satan. God, it's not good for you. It's actually bad for you. And God says, I don't want you eating blood, because I know it's bad for you, and I got to keep you alive, even though I'm going to have to judge you for all your idolatry. Some of you have to stay alive. And also because the life is in the blood. He wanted the Jews to always say, the life is in the blood. That precious blood gave its life for me. You know, that animal gave its life for me. And Jesus, when they saw his blood coming out of the wounds in his hand and his feet and his side, the water and the blood when the spear went in his side, to a Jew, that's huge. That's his life. So he says, don't mess with the image of blood. So today it would be like, you want to go hiking in the woods and just to enjoy the time with God? Go ahead. You want to go hike in the woods and hug a tree and say, you're my God? No, can't do that. So that's what he's saying. Enjoy eating meat, but don't do it as some religious getting close to God unless you do it this way. There's only one way to get close to God. It is not through nature. It is not through anything else but faith in Jesus Christ. That's really what it's setting up for. Verse 17, you may not eat within your gates the tithe of your grain or new wine or your oil or the firstborn of your herd or your flock of any of your offerings which you vow, of your freewill offering or of the heave offering of your hand. You know, people would say, wait a second, you know, I live far away. Why can't I just sacrifice this goat just like happens here? I'll just sacrifice it on some high place and just do it and, you know, just maybe have a priest watching, making sure it's done right and stuff. And why can't I do that? God says, no, this all has to be there. This whole image has to be there. You're in a relationship with God here. You do it on the high place, your religion. Again, that's what separates Christianity from everything. We have a relationship with God. Other people do stuff for religion. But you must eat them before the Lord, meaning you go to the tabernacle and you get to enjoy it as a family where you get to see where the tabernacle is in a place which the Lord your God chooses. You and your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, the Levite who is within your gates. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all which you have put your hands. Take heed to yourself that you do not forsake the Levite as long as you live in your land. See, another thing, they go worship at the high place instead of here. But when they go here, They give the Levite, okay, so I'm sacrificing this to God. Some of it the person didn't get to eat, if you read Leviticus. Some he does get to eat, and some he shares with the Levite. So if everybody stops coming here, then God's saying, don't forget the Levite, because he gets your grain offering. He gets some of your meat offering, so he can eat. If you just do it on a high place, he doesn't eat. What happens to the Levites that don't eat? Then they're not there to teach you about God and the law of God and to help you get right with God through the sacrificial system. And so then what's going to happen? Then the whole country forgets God. And because they forget God, God forgets them. And is that in the world today? And you know, you look how it is today. Praise Jesus, has never been a problem here. You might have noticed I don't really check what I say too much about worrying about whether or not the wallets are going to leave. But that's a big deal, and here's a little secret. My peers worry about wallets leaving. It's cursed that a pastor would say, I can't say this because I know this person doesn't agree with God, and if I say that, then they'll leave. And their tithe will leave with it. And I can't say this because of this person, because they have this, and they'll leave. And that's exactly what God is saying here. He's saying these people have to tell the truth, and as long as they're telling the truth, and you're wanting the truth, then everything works. As soon as the people don't want the truth, and the Levites realize, I'm going to go hungry, and so then they start telling the people what they want to hear, and then they're moving idols into the tabernacle or into the temple of Solomon, and then they're worshiping all the idols, and then they get destroyed. By the grace of God, the Lord has always provided for us miraculously, and I'm so thankful for that. Let's close with Deuteronomy 15:19. Go in there. Because one of the things, I just want to emphasize how much the law of God and the Levitical system is pointing to Jesus. Because, as you're turning to Deuteronomy 15:19, Deuteronomy 12:17 says, you may not eat within your gates the tithe of your grain offering, the noon wine, your oil, of the firstborn of your herd or your flock. You know, the other thing that was in the law, every firstborn belonged to God. And it gets so complicated, we're not going to even take the time. But you had an animal and it had its firstborn. That's mine. God says, that's mine. Why do you think he said that? Because everything in the law is pointing to this is Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son, Isaac. Abraham goes, wait a second. You told me that all the nations of the world are going to be blessed through my son, and you're telling me to kill him. Yep, and it said in Hebrews, Abraham knew, okay, I kill him, you raise him from the dead, because I can't be blessed through Isaac if he's dead. And God made it clear, Abraham and Sarah had to suffer all 100 years in his life of no children just to emphasize this point. God is sending one son, his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that one son belonged to God, and what did he do? He sacrificed it. He allowed to be sacrificed on the altar. So instead of Abraham being told just as he was getting ready to sacrifice Isaac, God provides a ram in the thicket. But for Jesus, God sees a Roman spear coming up and jabbing into Jesus, and he let him do it. Because Jesus was going to be that firstborn sacrifice. So Jews, firstborn belongs to God. And it gets sacrificed if it's an animal. And then it goes on to say, Deuteronomy 15:19, all the firstborn males that come from your herd and your flock, you shall sanctify to the Lord your God. You shall do no work with your firstborn of your herd. You don't use it for yourself, nor shear. You know, I'm going to sacrifice my firstborn sheep to you. Can I shear them first? Get some money? Get something off? Can I make some money off of Jesus? You're not going to shear them, the firstborn of your flock? And you and your household shall eat it before the Lord your God year by year in the place where the Lord chooses. You get to This firstborn, so special, sacrificed, has to be blemishless, as we're going to see in a minute. You get to come to God's way of salvation, and you get to enjoy it and take it in as a sacrifice from God. But if there is a defect in it, verse 21, if it is lame or blind or has any serious defect, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. Now, why did God say that? No defect in Jesus. Unless you're listening to one of the high place pastors, well, you know, we all know that Jesus shacked up with Mary Magdalene and they had children together and, you know, all this other stuff, making movies about that. No, that's not my Jesus. My Jesus is blemishless. You can say he sinned all you want. I know it's a lie. But you can take a blemished lamb and you may eat it within your own gates. The unclean person and the clean person alike, doesn't matter. It's not spiritual. You come to God, you have to come to God clean. How do you get clean? By the laver of bronze. I come and worship you and I want to get cleansed by your spirit. But if you're just eating this firstborn that was lame, you can do it and enjoy the meat. Only you shall not eat its blood. You shall pour it on the ground. Everything's pointing to Jesus. Isn't that miraculous too? I mean, everything in the Old Testament is all tied together with Jesus, who God knew he was going to send at exactly the right time, according to the prophets. All of this imagery was pointing to him. You can't have 50 different authors over 1,000 years, 1,500 years, making this story up, because you have to come up with a Jesus born in Bethlehem, born at the exact time, you know, had to run to Egypt, had to do all these other things. We serve the prophetic, miraculous God who left all these breadcrumbs to find Jesus if we would just humble ourselves and open our eyes to the truth. And yet, the whole world's rejected our Jesus. But we're not going to, right? And as you can tell from your notes, we were going to get farther. But I want to leave it with that, with just a challenge, again, to mothers, families. We'll pick it up here next week. There's precious little time. We have an almost impossible job to do, to get the knowledge of God into our children's hearts, and for them to be able to then go out into the world and keep it, because they know everything the world says it's a lie is a lie. They will know it's a lie, and they'll turn away from the high place and stay with Jesus in only the way he prescribed, which is faith in him. He's the only way to be saved. The only name given to men under heaven whereby we can be saved. And have the children be able to disciple into this truth so that they'll never turn away. So on the day that Jesus does come, that your children and you go with him. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. God, help us to really turn away from the things of this world. Even as adult Christians, Lord, there's always people on the hills, the high places of just the filth of this world that are calling out to us to get off of the road and come join them. Help us, God, to have nothing of the high places in our life. None of the idols of this life, the Asherahs, the Molechs, the gods of Satan. We just thank you for this time we can be in your word. And I pray again for all the mothers here and the fathers, that you would give them a special gifting of your spirit to double down on praying for and helping their children to come to the truth of the knowledge of your son, Jesus, as their savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God. Forever and ever, be to our God. Forever and ever, be to to our God, forever and ever. Amen. And we, the redeemed, shall be strong in purpose and unity, declaring aloud praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God. Wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever.
A really long time forever. You ever thought about that? I was talking to a guy, Jan Farkoff's son, and he was just feeling bad one day, and to the point where he felt like life was being sucked out of him, and he was told by the devil, "You are gonna die. You're gonna die." I mean, he just knew it was the devil, and he goes, "I got too much to do, God," and then. And the Lord says, "Go tell your wife." Went out to his wife, said, "I feel like I'm going to die," and dropped right there. But they revived him. And the Lord had told him, "I'm going to see it." But he saw that he was going, I'm going to go into eternity, but if it's okay, I got more people I want to minister to. We're going to go be with Jesus someday forever. Have that hope. It's real. There's a real devil. There's a real Jesus. Forever and ever, we're going to be with him. God bless you and keep you in his care.